Herod would have known that story. It would have reached him. And surely the chief priest would have known. Because the shepherds, look, the whole religion of Judaism is hinged on one great truth. One great truth. A Messiah. You take a Messiah out of Judaism and you've got nothing. If you were one of those shepherds or people that heard it, one of the first person you'd go tell, because the whole religion of Judaism is based on the expectancy of the Messiah. You'd go down to your synagogue and tell your rabbi, did you hear, the shepherds are running up and down the hills and they're telling us. And the rabbi, being just 4 miles away, would want to make good ends with the high priest. I'll run over to tell the high priest. I'll be the one to tell him. There's no way that this has happened and nobody knows about it for 2 years. I'm trying to get you to see it's a ridiculous story. Okay? They didn't say a word about these shepherds. Look what they said. Verse 5. Well, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people. He's quoting Micah 5:2. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently when the star appeared, at what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem. He sent them where? To Bethlehem. Look, these guys were told to go to Bethlehem. The prophecy said, go to Bethlehem. Why do you think they went to Nazareth? It doesn't say they went to Nazareth. I mean, if it's 2 years later, they had to go to Nazareth. That's where Jesus was living 2 years later. The Bible says so in Luke chapter 2. Okay? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search diligently for the young child. Now, here's where we have a problem. Stop. Problem. See the word child? All right. I'll tell you the problem and later we'll solve it. Every time the word child is used here in Matthew, it's the Greek word Padion, P-A-I-D-I-O-N, which most people tell you means childing or infant, or half-grown child, something like that. So they're using this word as proof that he was 2 years old. When we go to Luke, I will show you another Greek word, briphos, which we will see it used of a newborn baby, brand new little baby, and also see it used of speaking of a baby in the womb. In other words, when it said, when Mary came to Elizabeth and John the Baptist was within Elizabeth's womb, it says, the child leapt within the womb. It will be the word briphos. All right? Now, the problem is, they've made that as though those two words can't be used interchangeably. The Greek scholars will try and tell you that. But we're going to see in the Bible, without knowing a single word of Greek, that it just isn't so. We're going to see those words used interchangeably, referring to the same person at the same time. In other words, those words really would be like these words. Listen, we have words in English like child, baby, and infant. We can have a brand new one-day-old baby, and we could call him a child, we could call him a baby, and we could call him an infant. Now, when he's 2 or 3 years old, we could still call him a child, but we probably wouldn't call him an infant. And we could or couldn't call him a baby, you know, here comes my baby. Okay, do you see what I mean? We have this same thing in English. And the mistake that they're trying to make is to demand that these can only be used a certain way. Now the Greek word, third word, pais, P-A-I-S, is used in Luke chapter 2, verse 43, of Jesus when he was 12 years old at the temple. And padion, you can see, is the diminutive of pais. Okay, it's the diminutive form of pais. Now, I'm telling you about the problem. I want to show you at every time in Matthew, it's the word padion here in chapter 2. So they're trying to tell you that because of that, he can't be a brand new baby. Now, I'm going to tell you that's what that's being taught, but I'm going to show you that it just isn't so in the Scripture. Now, you say, well, wait a minute. We're having to take your word for it. How do we know these words? All right. What you can do to check me out is you can go purchase at any Bible bookstore an interlinear English-Greek. You say, but I don't know Greek. Well, it'll be the Bible in Greek, and under every Greek word, under every word in Greek will be the English word. So it will be the translation directly under it so that you can tell. And you'll be able to look up, and at the front of the book, it'll give you the Greek alphabet, and you can see what the word is, and you can spell it out. You don't have to know much Greek to, you know, for a letter of 6 or 7 letters. All right? Well, let's keep going. Bring him that I may worship him also. Verse 9, and when they heard the king, they departed. Now, where did they depart to go? Said to Bethlehem. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Woo, I'd call that a miracle. The star went before them. And until it came and stood. It went and it stood. Baby, that's a miracle. That is not a conjunction of the planets. Over where the young child was, Padean, when they saw the star stand, okay, they'd already seen the star and they'd been following it. Now all of a sudden it stands. When they saw the star stand, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They knew they had reached the end of their destination and their destiny. And when they were come into the house, all right, now, I'll proclaim to you what happened and I'll try and demonstrate it with more scripture as I go. There was no room in the inn that night. Now listen, please remember, as we read in Luke tonight, Joseph has gone to his birth town to be counted. His birth town. He's got relatives there. It's his hometown. There's no room in the inn. But that doesn't mean there was no room in the inn the next day. So the baby's born, and the next day they could have easily moved into one of their family's house when the family, somebody, distant relative finds out they're there, could have invited them in. We don't know. What we do know is they were definitely in a house when the wise men came, but that doesn't mean it had to be 2 years later. It could have been the next morning. But I'll show you why it wasn't 2 years later. All right? They saw the young child, and Mary his mother fell down and worshipped him. Now, please remember this. See, what's the big deal about a kid being 2 years old? Nothing. But would you say it's a big deal when Emmanuel happens? When God comes in the flesh, that's a big deal. When God in the flesh is 2 years old, there's nothing in Scripture, Lee, nothing in prophecy that would make a big deal out of the second birthday. The thing that the Scriptures do make a big deal out of is His birth, His ministry, His death on the cross for our sins, and His resurrection, His ascension, and His return. Those are big deals. Second year birthdays, no big deal. Just keep these thoughts in mind as we go. And they fell down and worshipped Him. Now stop, I need to say something about the word worship there. Some of you may, the Bible says worship Jehovah only, and yet these people came and worshipped Jesus. Mary and Joseph didn't jump up and say, oh, no, no, read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. Read Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20. Worship Jehovah only. Don't worship this baby. They didn't say a word. They let it happen. You know why? Jehovah was the baby. And Jehovah was also the Father. And Jehovah is also the Holy Spirit. But there are cult groups going around saying, no, well, let us tell you about this word worship. It just means they paid homage. They genuflected. They just paid homage. Well, maybe so. But let me tell you about this word so that you guys know the answer. This word that we translated worship here, which some Bibles don't translate worship, is the exact same word used every time it says they worshiped Jehovah or they worshiped Baal, the false god. It's the same word. So whatever they did to Jehovah, and whatever they did, the false people did to Baal, they did to Jesus. Have you got it? It's the same word. Okay. And when they opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I'd like to, but for time's sake, I don't want to stop on that. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared, hey, to Joseph. I told you, you'd see everything in Matthew relating to Joseph. This is the father's. And also, please notice, the chain of authority. The chain of authority. The angel did not come to Mary. The husband is the head of the family. He came to Joseph. You see that? Hallelujah. Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek to destroy the young child, Padean. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by the night and departed to Egypt. Now, let me tell you what I just think it's worth mentioning. Mary is as fine a woman as has ever lived. And when she was 9 months pregnant, she probably rode a donkey 70 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Now, I'm just trying to show you how we think wrong about God. You'd think if any woman was going to have an easy time with a birth, it'd be Mary. But if any of you gals in here have ever had babies, and you'll remember how it is to be, quote, great with child, how would you like to ride a donkey or walk 70 miles at the time you're ready to deliver? What I'm saying is, God didn't let Mary have it easy either. And I'm going to tell you that right after, within a day or so after the baby is born, she's got to get up and take another journey between 100 and 120 mile minimum to Egypt. What I'm trying to get you to see is, when God calls you to a special task, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It just means God will be with you while you're there. Now, if it wasn't bad enough to ride that donkey when she was pregnant, within a couple of days later, it's really rough. Remember, girls? Okay. I'm just telling you, the Bible doesn't teach when you get saved and filled with the Spirit and all that stuff that everything's rosy. God didn't send her a magic carpet or an angel to take her or a Cadillac. All right? It was a bumpy, rough ride. But I must add, she didn't perish. She went down there and came back. Now, looking at the blackboard very quickly then, again, we're going to see in Matthew 2:1 that he was born in Bethlehem, 4 miles south of Jerusalem. We're going to see, as we read tonight, in Luke 2:21, he was circumcised on the eighth day. Then we're going to see, now this is very important, that when he was born in Bethlehem, the wise men came at the birth, Emmanuel, that's the big deal. Then we're going to see something else. He's going to run for his life, being warned of an angel, to Egypt. But within 40 days, he's back at the temple for the dedication of the baby. Because Herod has died. I love it. Herod put the contract out to kill Jesus and all those babies, and within 40 days, he was a dead man. He was a dead man. All secular history records that Herod died in 4 BC in the spring. Therefore, it's very easy to tell you that Jesus, our Passover lamb, was born in the spring on Passover Day, and he also died in the spring on Passover Day. Okay? He is the Passover lamb. And he was born in 4 BC. 4 BC. Because that's the year that Herod died. All right, now. Then after the 40th day, they returned to Nazareth. So they fled to Egypt very soon after the birth and were back in Jerusalem 40 days later with Herod dead. Now, let me look at the map and show you how that makes sense where the other doesn't. Let's see if my story fits and compare it to the story of Jesus being 2 years old. Here's a map up on the blackboard. Here's the Mediterranean Sea. Down here's the Sinai Peninsula. Here's Egypt, the Red Sea, Gulf of Aqaba. Here's the Dead Sea. Here's the Sea of Galilee. Here's Jerusalem. Here's Bethlehem, 4 miles south. This little dot to the north is Ramah, which will be important to us in just a few moments. And here's Nazareth, about 60 or 70 miles north by the Sea of Galilee. Now picture this. Herod is about to put a contract out on the children of Bethlehem. If Jesus is 2 years old and living in Nazareth, why run and flee to Egypt? He's safe 70 miles away. And to get to Egypt from Nazareth, he would have to actually go through Herod's domain. And the object is to stay away from Herod. He's out to kill him. But look at the other way. If the wise men came when he was born, ooh, look at it. He was in Bethlehem. Herod was in Jerusalem. Flee to Egypt, and you're running away from Herod all the way. That makes sense. That is logical. Do you see that, Dale? It's really easy. All right, now let's keep reading. Okay. And he was there, verse 15, till the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. That's Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. Then Herod, when he saw... Now, let me tell you this. Okay, no, I'll keep going. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, sent forth and slew all the children in Bethlehem, and, please observe the word and. Many of you have heard, well, it wasn't really so bad. Herod just killed a few kids down there in Bethlehem, but there really wasn't very many people involved in this. But do you see it says, and all the coast or the borders thereof? You say, well, I wonder what that means. How big an area was that? He didn't just kill kids in Bethlehem. I want you to see something about the man Herod. Now listen, I've tried to paint you a portrait of how desperate this man is, how wicked he is in securing his throne. He's killed his brothers. He's killed his wife's daddy. He's killed his wife's brother. And he kills his wife. This man has gone to all limits to keep his throne. Now, I want you to see how these kind of men think. Now, I used to be this wicked, so I can think like they do. I know exactly how he thought. I know what I'd have done. From 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Step one, you say, well, there it is, Floyd. They had to be 2 years old. It had to be, he had to be two. No, he doesn't. Number one, please remember, in Jewish reckoning, if you are 1 year and 1 day old, you're considered to be 2 years old. You are in the second year. You are 2 years old. He's sending a bunch of soldiers, Roman soldiers, and Jewish soldiers down there to kill the children. We don't know how long it would have taken the wise men to get there. But the point is that a man like Herod isn't going to... He's already got everything invested in the throne. He isn't going to say, now let's see, you're a soldier. Now I'm trusting you with my throne. Kill everybody 6 months down. Look, men look at babies. You girls, listen, y'all making tell, but we can't. Here's a 3-month-old baby, here's a 6-month-old baby. I can tell which one's older, but how much older, I don't know. I know when they start walking. When you're a wicked man, you don't take chances, and we'll prove it. Watch him. Then it was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah, there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, but she couldn't be comforted because the children were no more. Stop. Look at the map. Bethlehem is 4 miles south of Jerusalem. Ramah is 5 miles north. Now, if you looked at your map, the tribal outline of a map would show you that Benjamin... The tribal allotment of Benjamin includes Jerusalem. And then just below Jerusalem, right at the southern part of the town, the tribe of Judah got its allotment. It says here Rachel was weeping for her children in Ramah. But the contract was on the children in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is in Judah. Judah. Why is Rachel weeping for Judah? Judah was not her son. Judah was Leah's son. Thrum. No, Rachel was weeping because the contract, Herod didn't take any chances. He killed everybody, all the babies, at least as far north as Ramah. It was at least a 10-mile circle. You know, approximately 10, 4, 5, plus the width of Jerusalem, plus 5 more miles. It was a bloodbath. Hey, now if Herod, don't you see what I'm getting at? I'm making a strong inference. We can see from the Scripture. See, Rachel's child was Benjamin. Yes, if they kill children in Ramah, that was in Benjamin. Those were the offspring of Rachel. She would be weeping for her children, but not if they only killed children down in Bethlehem. Those were Leah's children. Do you see it? So what did we learn important about the man Herod from the Bible? See, I gave you stuff from secular history, Toby, but you don't need that. You can see what kind of wicked man this is. Now, he didn't just kill kids down in Bethlehem. He killed kids all over the place. That's how ruthless and desperate he is. Now, you can see immediately, Mike, that a guy that ruthless and that desperate would stop it. You know, why just 2 weeks and old? Why 3 months old? Let's make certain. This is too important to chance. One thing's for sure, if I get them, I can just see them almost say, everybody from 1 year old and down, no man, 1 year and 1 day, boy, that could be close. Let's get them all. And that's what happened. Because we can see his heart. Now, verse 19, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream again to Joseph. Observe again, the whole story is from Joseph's viewpoint. Then arise, take the young child and his mother, go to the land of Israel. They are dead that sought the young child's life. He arose, took the young child and his mother, and came back to Israel. All right, and then it says in verse 23, he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled by the prophet. He was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Might as well say that. It doesn't say it was written by the prophet. It says it was spoken by the prophet. You'll never find written in the Bible that it said Jesus would be a Nazarene. But they didn't say that. It said it was spoken by prophets. There's many things in Scripture spoken by prophets that were never written down. Never written down. At the time it happened, but refers to it later. Now then, quickly, to Luke. Luke. But keep one hand there. Now then, first of all, now I've made some bold statements and I'd better be able to back it up. All right. First, at Luke chapter 1. Now you recall that Zacharias was the father of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. In fact, James and John, his two disciples, John, the one that wrote the book of Revelation in the Gospel of John, they were Jesus' cousins also. You say, golly, this was a family affair. It really was. But that wasn't difficult or new to the Jews. They were accustomed to a family priest tribe, weren't they? The Levites. See, John, that leaned on Jesus' breast, leaned on him, hear me, because he was the youngest of the clan. Not because he was Jesus' favorite. Jesus never has favorites. You see, what it says, the apostle whom Jesus loved all of them. He just didn't want to call his own name. John didn't want to get the eyes and attraction off of Jesus in his gospel. Okay? And when you sit at communion, the way the Jews celebrated their Passover meals, the youngest in the family sat, the oldest of the family would sit at the end of the table, the family patriarch would sit at the end of the table, the firstborn son would sit at his right, and the youngest son would sit at his left. And if they reclined, they reclined to the right so that the youngest in the clan would lean over on the head of the clan. So that's why John was leaning on him. Jesus didn't love John better than he loved any of the rest of them. But John and James, the son of thunder, were Jesus' first cousins. And John the Baptist was also his cousin. Okay? Now, verse 41. So Zacharias was in the temple doing his work, and the angel Gabriel appeared to him and told him that he and his wife were going to be blessed with a child. And I should show you this. Now, she, it says in verse 7 that Elizabeth was barren and they were both too old to have children. Just like Sarah and Abraham. So what we need is a miracle. Her womb is a tomb. Now I may as well show you this. In verse 25, yeah, I know. In verse 25, it says here that as Elizabeth is talking, because Gabriel appears to Elizabeth and tells her the truth also. Or rather, she conceives. It says, God has taken away my reproach. It was a reproach, and it is biblically a reproach to be barren. If you don't have children, it's a reproach if you're barren. You say, oh, Floyd, I feel so terrible. I feel so good. I mean, it's bad enough. I don't have any children. I've been wanting children. Now you tell me it's a reproach. I may as well tell it to you. I mean, it is. You say, well, what do I do? I'm reproached. Why don't you call out to God? Do what everybody did in the Bible. What everybody did in the Bible didn't have kids. Oh, God. Did you ever read Samuel chapter 1? There was a woman named Hannah, and Hannah didn't have any children. And she went down and pleaded with God, oh, God, if I can't have any children, I'd rather go home. Just take me home. All through the Bible, someone says, well, that was in the olden days. Beloved, it's an eternal principle. The Bible teaches that blessings, that children are blessings from God. And I love you guys enough to tell you that. And that's about as popular as a snake. But I'll tell you what, Elizabeth knew that it was a reproach. And she says, praise the Lord, he took away my reproach. So if you've never had children, pray for them. You say, I'm not sure I want them. That's between you and God, sinner. What you just said is, God, you take your blessing and hang it on your ear. I don't want that little blessing. What I want is a big car. And an education. Oh, that education is going to feel real warm. Let me tell you, I just love to go to bed with my old diploma with that little gold stamp, magna cum laude written on it. Just love it. Just snuggle up to it. So good. When I'm sick and getting older, you know, it really comforts me. My feet get swollen up and tired from standing while that old diploma just goes and fetches me some warm water and brings it and says, sit down in that chair, I'll take care of you. Dear goodness. I'll tell you one thing. When you come in here and hear me, you won't leave and say, wasn't he pleasant? You're going to repent or run. That's good. Now, please observe verse 41. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe, do you see the word babe? Do you see the word babe? That is briphos. Now, it's still in the womb, briphos. Okay? Leaped in the womb. All right, now, so I just want to call it to your attention. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, drop down to 57. Now, Elizabeth's full time came, she should be delivered, she brought forth a son. Her neighbors and her cousins, that's the Greek word syngenes, heard how the Lord had shown great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. Then it came that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. They called him Zacharias, after them his father. Now you remember that when Zacharias didn't believe Gabriel, when Gabriel said that he was going to have a son, Gabriel struck him dumb. Says, you're not going to speak till the baby's born because you didn't believe when I... Listen, man, I stand in the presence of the living God. You tell me I don't know what's going on. I just told you I came from God. Have you ever seen anybody look like me before? You know, how many angels have you seen, fellow? You know? And you're going to tell me how to run the universe? You're not going to say a word till that baby gets here. Okay? So they're going to name the baby, but suddenly the mother speaks up. Now, this is unheard of. In the Jewish family situation, mothers didn't speak at times like this. She had done her job. Okay? The circumcision was with the rabbi and everything, and the heads of the family are there. And the mother answers and says, not so, he shall be called John. They said unto her, there is none of your kindred called by that name. Just who is the daddy of this kid anyway? I mean, we know you guys have been barren. Just what's this story here? And they made signs to the father how he should be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote and said, his name is John. And they all marveled. His mouth was open immediately. His tongue was loosed. And he spoke and praised God, and fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And these sayings, hear this, were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. Stop, look at the map. The hill country of Judea would be this area here on the map, just above Jerusalem, down through Bethlehem, and south on down past along the Dead Sea. That's the hill country. Have you got it? Now, John the Baptist, had we read this, and I didn't, but you can here in Luke, he was conceived 6 months before Jesus. I probably ought to let you see where that is, just so some of you can mark it. If I can find it real quickly. It's verse 26. In the sixth month the angel came, and also verse 36. Behold, your cousin Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Hey, did you get that? She was called barren. Now, for 6 months, it says, for 6 months, it was noise all through the hills. A wonder child has been born. The wunderkind is here. And let's see what it says. Verse 66, they all that heard these things laid it up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this one be? In other words, every Jew went to their calendar and said, we've been looking for the Messiah. Maybe this is it. Let's mark on our calendar today. And it went all up and down the hills. I'm trying to show you that there's no way Herod wouldn't have known about this. There's no way the chief priests that were at Herod's court wouldn't have known about the birth of John, because the next thing that happened is in verse 67, Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and started prophesying. He said, I'm not going to let you guys wonder whether or not this is the Messiah. I'm going to prophesy. God isn't going to let you guess. And he prophesies about him, about his own son, John. And as he prophesies, he gets to verse 76 and says, and you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. And then he goes down to verse 78, and he says, through the tender mercies of God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. In other words, as you read this whole prophecy, he says, my boy is the forerunner of the Messiah. He is the prophet of the Messiah. All right, now, so we've got all these people telling the story. Now then, very quickly, verse 4 of chapter 2. Joseph went out of Galilee to the city of Nazareth. Why? If you read above it, because Caesar Augustus said that the world should be taxed. Now, if your Bible says registered, that's fine, but they've been arguing about that word too. Well, you know why they were registering them? To tax them. So the argument is over. You see what I mean? That's what the purpose was for registering, was so they could tax. So it's pointless to argue that. All right? Joseph went out of Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth. So we see he was living in Nazareth, unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. That's why he went to Bethlehem. That was his family place. To be registered with Mary. Now listen. Do you remember the Old Testament? Did they count women? Okay, right? Do they count women? You read all the Old Testament. They don't count women. Read the New Testament. It says there were 3,000 men. There were 5,000 men beside women and children. We didn't count the women and children. The Ephesians 12 says there were about 12 men. There may have been some women there, but see, nothing's mentioned. The point I'm getting is Mary didn't have to come to be registered. The husband could have done it. She came to fulfill Scripture. God sent her down to fulfill. Hey, it doesn't make sense. That's a dumb thing to take your wife down there on that donkey. Or, you know, however they went. We don't know how they went, but the point is it's a tough trip for a girl that's in her ninth month over rough roads, because I've been through that country in Israel, and it's rugged. She was great with child. It's about a 60-mile journey. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Right. When they get there, there's no room in the inn. So they have to stay somewhere else, as it says here, in a manger. Now, please observe, it doesn't say cave. You know, you go over to Israel and they'll show you a cave. It doesn't say anything about a cave. We don't have any idea where the spot is. Now, we know that he was born there in a manger. But that doesn't preclude that the next day someone... Now, please remember, what time of year is this?
It's spring.
Yeah, it's Passover. And the place is full of people. And the reason why is there no room in the inn? See, I'm trying to get you to think. Bethlehem's a dump. It's a little burg. Because every Jewish male had to come to Jerusalem for the Passover, for the Feast of Tabernacles, and for Pentecost. And so it's overflowing and it's spilled down. But once you get counted, see, sure, the inns may have been filled up that night in Jerusalem and spill over into Bethlehem, but once you've been counted, you go home. So there would have been room, could have been room the next day. There's no problem with that, I'm trying to get you to see. Let's look at verse 8. This is tremendous. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid. And the angel said, "Fear not." Every time an angel speaks to a saved person in the Bible, the first thing he says is, "Fear not." Angels are terrifying to observe. They are incredible creatures to observe. But you won't see angels telling lost people not to fear. The angel didn't tell Cornelius not to fear when he was lost. The angel didn't tell Eliphaz the Temanite not to fear when he spoke to him in the night. In other words, if you're lost, you better be scared when you see an angel. But if you're saved, the first thing they'll tell you is, don't be afraid. I've got good news. All right? Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings. In other words, the gospel. That's what, right? Isn't that what the word gospel means? Good news? Good tidings? I bring you the gospel of great joy, which shall be to Jews. Oh, excuse me. Which shall be to the Southern Baptist. Oh, I'm sorry, it doesn't say that. Which shall be to the Roman Catholics. Oh, it doesn't say that. It says to all people. It'll be to the Church of Christ. It says all people. It'll be for the Mormons. It says all people. Well, it'll put your arrogance down, won't it? Won't that step on your toes? It's for the assemblies of God, says all. Hallelujah. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Whoa, what does the word Christ mean? What did those shepherds understand that prophecy from the angel to mean? Christ is the Greek word. It is the equivalent of the Hebrew word Messiah. They said the Messiah is born today in the city of David. And then the angel said, don't tell a soul. No, look what happened. This shall be a sign. You shall find the briefos, the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Didn't say singing, said praising God. We never see anywhere in Scripture where it says angels sing. Now, that doesn't say, it never says they can't sing, but never does the Scripture say anything about angels singing. It always says they were shouting with joy or praising. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Stop. Some of you have Bibles, false Bibles, written that says peace to men of goodwill. If that's the story, if that's the gospel, they ain't no such thing. The gospel is not that there's peace to men of goodwill, because there's nobody with goodwill. till you give your life to Jesus Christ. The gospel is there's peace and goodwill toward men even though they're sinners. You say, how do you know that? How do you know my Bible isn't translated right? Read right back up there to verse 10 and it proves that your Bible is wrong. I bring you good tidings of great joy which shall be to all men, all people, not to those with goodwills. The gospel is not, if you've got a goodwill, there's peace from God. The gospel is, you wicked sinner, there's still peace offered from God. That's the good news. Hallelujah. And it came to pass, as the angel had gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go even now to Bethlehem and see this thing which shall come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the Briphos, the babe Briphos, lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this Paddion. Looky. It says they found a Briphos in a manger and then they went and told everybody about the Paddion. In other words, they found, let me put it in modern English, they found the baby in the manger and went and told everybody about the little infant. So I'm trying to show you they've made a big deal about nothing. And I can show this to you and will show it to you later in another scripture to show you this isn't the only place. But now observe what they did, verse 11. When they saw this, they made it known abroad, the saying that was concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at those things that were told them by the shepherds. What did the shepherd tell them? Tonight, this night, this day, Messiah is born. And these shepherds went out and told everybody. It says they told everybody. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and pondered them in her heart. See, it's the story from Mary's viewpoint. And the shepherds returned glorifying, praising God for all the things. Now, did you see that? The night Jesus was born, these shepherds are told by the angels that this child is the Messiah. And it says they go, now it's only 4 miles from the temple at Jerusalem. And it says these shepherds run up and down the hills and they tell everybody. And everybody wondered, and, hey, you know what you'd do if you was Joe Jew? You'd mark your little calendar and say, son of a gun. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government's going to be on his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's who's born tonight. I better mark it down. I wonder when he's going to start doing his thing. And they start marking it. 20 years go by. Wonder what he's up to now. Wonder when he's going to start it. And all of a sudden, when he was 30 years old, fulfilling all scripture that you had to be 30 years old to be the high priest in Israel, Jesus comes not after the order of Levi, but after the order of Melchizedek at age 30. So now then, with that in mind, let's review. Do you really think that here's Herod up in the palace and all the chief priests just 4 miles away, and 6 months before, John the Baptist was born. And all the people are running up and down the hill saying, John the Baptist is born. He's the forerunner of the Messiah because his daddy so prophesied. And we got reason to believe his daddy because he was struck dumb and then he suddenly spoke. It was a miracle. Then we had these angels appear to shepherds. And everybody, they run up and down these hills and they tell everybody. You can be sure that the chief priest would have known. The rabbis in the town would have known, and the word would have at least gone 4 miles to the chief priest. But when the wise men showed up, the chief priest didn't know anything about it. They didn't say, oh, we know the answer. Those shepherds told us. We even know the day. We marked it. No, they said, well, let's see. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the prophecy does say that he will be born in Bethlehem. I'm trying to show you 2 years could not possibly have gone by. But a day could have. They might not have heard the next day when the wise men came. Now, there's one other point, and that's the closing point for the night. I mean, I'm going to nail the lid down on this. I'm not even going to let you get by with that one. I mean, I'm going to nail the lid down so tight that you'd have to grit your teeth to not believe it. Look with me at verse 21. When the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, who was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb, Gabriel. And when the days of Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That was on the 40th day. If it was a male, it would be on the 40th day. If it was a female, on the 80th day. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. That's back in Exodus. All right? and to offer according to that which is in the law a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Stop. The parents are offering two turtle doves or pigeons. Do you know what offering that was? The sin offering. Your church may say Mary is not a sinner, but Mary offered a sin offering. Mary told the truth. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was a righteous and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel. That doesn't mean the consolation prize. The consolation of Israel is the Redeemer. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it revealed unto him, hey, that's the only way you ever get anything revealed to you. This is a perfect example of how you get revelation. The Holy Spirit revealed it. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And he came by the Spirit to the temple, and the parents brought in the child Jesus to do after him the custom of the law, to circumcise him, and that's the word Paddian. And so the word Paddian here is used of him on the eighth day. He's only 8 days old, and they're using the word Paddian, son of a gun. I was told that could only be used when you were around 2 years old. Thrum, thrum, thrum. See, I'm trying to tell y'all something. I despise people that try to tell you can't understand the Bible unless you know Greek. I'm trying to show you that if you just read this in its simplicity and draw it, you'll reach the only logical conclusion, whether you knew one word of Greek or not. Just read the word babe. A child, doesn't matter. All right, now, he prophesies over him at the temple. It says they brought him at the temple. But look at verse 36 as if that won't blow your mind. And there was one Anna the prophetess, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. She had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. In other words, she was a virgin when she married. She lived with him 7 years and he died. All right? And she was a widow of about 84 years. That a score is 20. 80. She had been a widow and was 84 years, who had departed not from the temple. See, we're at the temple. But served God with fasting and prayer night and day. Son of a gun, that was her ministry. Here's a prophetess. And what was her ministry? Preaching sermons. No, her ministry was fasting and praying. Was that worthy? Is that a worthy enough ministry for you girls? It was worthy enough for Anna the prophetess. All right? Hallelujah. And she coming in where? Back up in verse 37. The temple. Because that's where they were to offer the Lord, as it tells us before this. To make the sin offering. And she, coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spoke of him, Jesus, to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Now, that's the same thing as the consolation of Israel back in verse 25, the redemption in Jerusalem. In other words, do you see that? At the temple, where the chief priest would have been, Anna the prophetess takes this baby after Simeon has prophesied over him and says, this is him, the Redeemer of Israel, to everybody in the temple. Now, do you really think that all these Jews in the temple, you know, have you ever seen Jews? They're like Italians. Jews don't just talk. And Italians don't just talk. When Italians talk, that, you know, they gesticulate. Their arms move, their legs move. You're married to a little Italian. You know that deal, you know. Jews, when they get, listen, they didn't just say, isn't that pleasant? The shepherds told us just 40 days ago that the Messiah was born. And now Anna, at the very temple, prophesies that he is the Redeemer. Therefore, I want you to understand, there's no way 2 years could have gone by with Anna prophesying that at the temple. And the chief priest still hadn't heard about it. Do you know what would happen in that temple if you were one of those people there and you had been waiting? Hey. If an angel showed up tonight and said, tomorrow, the Lord is going to shout with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet, we wouldn't say, oh, isn't that pleasant? Listen, you guys, we would nearly lose our mind during this. We would be telling everybody. Phone calls running up and down the street.